You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into the Celtics Life podcast. It is our positivity podcast. We've talked about the Celtics' slow start for the last few episodes. This week, we're looking at the best turnarounds for past Celtics teams as well as others, plus all of your other weekly news. I'm Topher Lane, here with Luis Gonzalez. But as always, we want to thank you guys for listening. We'd appreciate if you subscribe and rate us 5 stars or leave reviews. So let's jump right in. Luis, we picked up a big, much-needed win to keep us afloat around 500 against the New Orleans Pelicans. How'd you feel about that game, the offense, defense? How'd you feel we did?
Well, the sky is no longer falling.
Really?
Apparently. Well, I mean, I still think some people think that it is or feel that it is. But definitely a good win. Definitely good to see them play, you know, well enough to win. You know, albeit it was against the Pelicans, who
Pelicans
got
are
off
solid.
To a great start. No, they got off to a great start, and then some injury bug really early in the season, and they've sort of come back down to earth a little bit. But they are a solid team. I still think they'll end up in the playoffs. We'll see. Long season, but it was a solid win, and I was happy to see Marcus Smart in that starting line.
Yep, as was Marcus Morris. Yep, now 40 minutes for Smart. Morris also got a start as well. Smart in place of Brown, who was out with a back injury, and Morris in place of Hayward, who was put on the bench. The offense looked great. We went on a quick run to open up the game. It was like 10-2, and then we rattled off some. It was like 20-10. We figured out how to really score in the first quarter to finish with like a 15-point lead or something at the end of the first. And we were able to kind of match every run that the Pelicans had with one of our own. So all around, a pretty good game. And I also noted that when Gordon Hayward was on the floor as a bench player, the Celtics were doing extremely well. And I think Jay King tweeted about it, that the Celtics had like a plus 140 in his minutes on the floor or something. So off the bench, he's been very productive. And I think that's huge. And he had said that he wants to, you know, if he is going to be more effective off the bench, he'd rather do that. He doesn't think he has to be a starter. Maybe that's just for the time being. But it was really great to see all of that come together to pick up that win, regardless of the opponent. To have that come together and have that win on Monday night was huge.
Absolutely, and I'm a big fan of, like you said, pushing Gordon Hayward back to the bench. I mean, right now, he just isn't as productive as he would be. Granted, again, he's still working his way back into basketball form after his injury last season, and I think that the win and the way that we won sort of proves once again that the heart and soul of this team is not Kyrie Irving, is not Al Horford, is not Jaylen Brown, is not Jason Tatum. It's Marcus Smart.
Really?
I think so. You know, we say this all the time. You won't see his impact on the stat sheet every night. You know, he's good for an offensive explosion every now and again. But it's all of the intangibles. that Marcus Smart brings that I really think makes him, you know, the heart of the team.
He is the longest tenured Celtic. I mean, you look at everybody on the team, he's got the most time with the Celtics. He's been there.
Exactly. But
yeah, it was Rondo before he was traded, and the Marcus Smart kind of picked up the torch. I think he's absolutely a leader in the locker room in that regard, but he's still really young compared to everybody. I mean, we do have a young team, but he's still like a young guy. I don't know how many people think of him as a leader when you consider that he's still, I mean, he just signed his first extension, and you know, he's young, but he may be the leader. I when you first said that, I disagreed, but no, you could totally be right. And
let's sort of expand on this for like 3 minutes. I know this is getting a little bit off topic, but if not Marcus Smart, who then on the team would you say is the I don't want to say, because
heart
I
and
feel
soul?
Like
I mean heart.
Yeah, not the leader of the team, the heart and soul of the team, because I do think that they're different. I would say that the leader of the team, I would guess, is probably Al Horford. But the heart, soul, the identity of the team,
I would say it's Brad Stevens. I mean, if you're talking just the players, then yeah, I guess Marcus would be that guy. Okay. But you know, I mean, the team as a whole, like if you're looking at the locker room, I think Stevens would be that kind of commander, the heart and soul kind of commander guy.
That
and then
makes sense.
On the floor, yeah, I think on the floor he brings the tenacity, he brings the energy, he brings all that. And I think he said after the Pelicans game that having all that tenacity in the starting lineup, adding both Morris and himself to the starting lineup, he said that it was almost contagious and carried over to the bench as well, which I think was huge, because you could see that. You could see the defense. I mean, we forced like 15 turnovers in the first half. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was unreal. And that was both the starters and the second unit as well. The defense was just, it was just really good pressure all around from every guy on the court at all times of the game. And, you know, there were lapses, but most of that was just Mirotić just deciding to just go off. I know he was just going to stop. He was hitting from 5 feet behind the line. He was just blind. And
yeah, he's good for a game or two like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? We were able to bottle up enough other players that AD could do whatever he did, and Mirotić was able to have his night. We were able to pick up the W. But that tenacity that he brought to the floor spread to everybody else, and that was huge. You know, that was a really, really big aspect of getting that win against the Pelicans. Do you think that means that he should stay a starter when Jaylen Brown is healthy again? Do you think that keeping him and maybe Morris as well in the starting lineup will keep that rolling?
You know, if it works, if there are players who, you know, are feel a certain type of way being moved to the bench because, you know, they're just not producing as well as other players on the team, then that's a problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
But assuming everybody's willing to, you know, assume whatever role is best for them, whatever role Brad Stevens thinks they're best suited for, then you just roll with whatever works. And if Marcus Smart starting works, then it works. And that's what we should probably stick with. Granted, it was one game.
Yes.
I would love to see this, you know, for a week or two, just to see overall what it looks like. But I'm confident that we will have a similar result with him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, well, so upcoming week, Cleveland on Friday. So that's an opportunity to mess with the lineup and to see what you can do. Because that they just sold
but
off.
I also...
They just sold Kyle Korver, and they're just a bad basketball team that you'd be able to play around with the lineup and see what happens there. I don't think Marcus needs to get 40 minutes in that game. You know, that's not one that you need him on the court for the entire game almost. But he still should start, I think, because you can mess around with that. You can give him the chance. It's not the worst to rest Jaylen if he is healthy and he's able to play. It's not the worst to give him the less time off the bench, or, you know, just as much time off the bench. I don't know. But that's a team that you can really make those changes to. And then Minnesota the next night, And that's a little bit tougher of an opponent. Well, definitely a tougher opponent. Much tougher opponent, but still a reasonable one. So I think that it's worth keeping them as starters, at least for those two games, and seeing what you got, seeing if you can still play with that energy and that defensive tenacity that he brought to the court against New Orleans.
It's funny that you say that, because now what I was going to say is that I certainly don't think that you can write either of these two teams off.
Cleveland?
They're still... I mean, Cleveland is a terrible team. But
yeah, wait. You can absolutely write Cleveland off.
No, I think Boston still needs to show up.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I'm worried that we'll overlook them. We won't be the tenacious team that showed up against New Orleans. And we may win this game, but then we'll turn around and lose against Minnesota.
See, that's what I really like.
Because we lost that tenacity for one game.
That's what I really like about this start. About the fact that we've been, you know, a team that hasn't been meeting expectations, is that right now, every game is a must-win for these guys. Every win, they're going to come out and they're going to say, no, we have to play better. We have to be better than we've been. And so that's one thing that I really like about this start, is that it was humbling enough that we're not going to underestimate anybody. And you saw that against Chicago. You saw that against Atlanta. Guys that... we just came out and we just blew them out of the water because we need these wins. And they understand that. And, you know, come out flat against Utah, which I think was partially a back-to-back thing after a overtime win against Toronto. And that we still were kind of finding our identity and our role and stuff. But I think that I understand that that's something that we have done in the past when we were underestimating teams. But I don't think that right now is a situation where this team is going to underestimate anybody. And I think maybe if this worked against New Orleans and it works again against Cleveland, then we figured out the recipe for success. And it's the fact that we have, you know, Marcus Squared in the starting lineup and Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart.
Is that the nickname that we're going with for them?
I literally made it up right then. I hope it doesn't. I hope it's not, because it's not good.
I hope not. Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
It works for right now.
Yeah, but in the moment, I think that's both the Marcuses in the starting lineup. If that's the right, and that, you know, we'll work on the nickname as we figure out if it works. Right now, we're not confident enough. We need more of a sample size to figure that out.
But I do like them in the starting lineup.
I do too.
Really, really do. I think it works. Very, very well for us.
Granted, that was a good situation against New Orleans, because Morris fit the kind of defensive situation against, like, AD and Miritz.
Yeah,
like, that
absolutely.
Fit better than the lineup they were playing. And that's, I think it was, we had a conversation last week, and I'm not sure if Justin and I talked about it last week as well, but about how Brad Stevens in the past, a lot of what has led to success has been his willingness to change the starting lineup from game to game, even in the playoffs. He didn't go with who's the most tenured, who's the best player. He went with the matchups. And that's the situation of benching Avery Bradley in place of Gerald Green. And we saw that all the time. And he finally may have gotten back to that against New Orleans, and maybe he'll continue to do that. Maybe there'll be games that Gordon Hayward will be more suited to be playing than Marcus Morris, or that Jaylen Brown will be more suited, or maybe that Tatum needs to be benched, and we need to figure out a different situation at small forward, not because he's not playing well, but because the matchups just make more sense that way. And I think that that's partially something that we can look forward to. Maybe this is the game where you realize, like, no, you know what? I need to go back to my roots. I need to go back to making these changes. And, you know, I just think that maybe this is the catalyst that has that happen. And, sorry, I cut you off. Continue. You were talking.
No, well, would you say that Brad Stevens felt pressured to, like what you're sort of hinting at right now, to play the most talented lineup as opposed to the lineup best? Because that's what I am thinking now.
Yeah, I think he was, in that he absolutely was kind of forced, not forced, but just felt that he needed to be playing the most talented lineup, because it was, you know, every game, and he didn't really stray away from it. So I do want to write, and I'm planning on writing a piece for Celtics Life about how Stevens has never really coached stars. And back when I first started writing for Celtics Life in, I think, 2014, someone noted that he's never coached stars well. And, you know, I mean, my perspective is that he's always been this kind of scrappy underdog who's never been a star in himself. He started as an assistant coach and just fought his way up. And he was never a basketball guy. He was a mind guy. He used his mind to kind of to work his way into where he got. And so he was always just kind of this small dude who had never been a star in anything that he did and just kind of worked his way to the top. So he's thrived with those guys as players, the Isaiah Thomases of players.
Yep.
And but never a true star. And you can look at last season and say he did, but the playoff run wasn't with any of his stars.
Nope.
You know, you look at Al Horford, people say he's not a good player. He's not. People say that he's not, he doesn't deserve a max contract. He doesn't. But you know what? He's the fighter. He's the scrapper. He's the guy who's not a star. He's just a really good player who works really, really, really hard. And that's such Brad Stevens. That's why Al Horford works so well in Brad Stevens' system, is because that's the way it is. And so losing Kyrie, losing Gordon Hayward, he fought that team to the playoffs, to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so I do want to write about that because I think he did. I think he was forced to start this talented lineup of all-stars and all really good players. And that's not who he is. That's not how he coaches. And that's why we went 10-10 through the first stretch, through the first 20 games. I agree. I think he was forced to start that.
The Celtics were so much fun to watch in the playoffs last season.
Mm-hmm.
The result wasn't the one that we wanted, but I think as a whole, they got... I think the fan base as a whole didn't think that they would get as far as they did, you know.
I think we did. I think the NBA fan base didn't. I think Celtics fans were never really... I think every single series we were expected to lose in five games. Milwaukee, Philly, Cleveland. All of them we were expected to lose in, like, early. And Milwaukee obviously first forced a series, and then Philly we just plowed through, and Cleveland we just didn't have the players. I mean, it's like that was such a hard fought series, and if we had anybody, you know, I mean, it was Terry Rozier having to run the show the entire series, and you know, I think I was pleased with how that season went. I wasn't expecting when Gordon Hayward went down 5 minutes into the series, I should say. I was not expecting Eastern Conference Finals, and so I was happy. I think Celtics fans were. I think any of us thought we could have made the finals when we were looking at this team heading into the playoffs. So
okay, but if I told you, or if I asked you, do you think we would be in a Game 7? And remember how we lost that Game 7? We had one of the worst shooting nights, if not the worst shooting night of the season from three. That's really the reason that... We'll say that's the reason that we lost. If we had connected on a few of those shots, we would have been in the finals. But if I had told you that the Celtics would be in a game... In a very competitive down to the wire Game 7 against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward in their starting lineup, I think I would be lying if I said that I would have believed that that was a realistic scenario.
I didn't think that Cleveland team was that good. I mean, I don't tend to bet against LeBron himself, but I had said that this was going to be the season, last season was going to be the season that he missed the finals for the first time. And so I thought Toronto was going to take him down. You hated me for that. You and I argued about that all the time. Because you were right. You were right. Toronto was not the team to do it. But I thought Toronto was going to be the one that did it in the semis. Or the quarter. Whatever. The second round.
It was the second round.
Yeah. I don't know why. The Eastern Conference semi. Regardless. I thought Toronto was going to do it, and so I wouldn't have been surprised. You know, I wasn't that high on that Cleveland team. And it was exclusively LeBron who just willed them to the finals. And he did, and it was ridiculously impressive.
And he did the LeBron thing.
Yes. And it was incredible. But no, I wouldn't have been surprised. But I'm also an optimist. I'm like a blind Celtics optimist. It's a problem. I need to go to therapy. A little.
I try to step back and try to truly assess, you know, the landscape.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. Not at all. So no, I would not have been surprised by that. So, okay, this brings us to kind of our optimistic side of how we're looking right now. And I think that the key is to look at previous teams that have turned around bad seasons. And so within recent memory, you look at the past three iterations of the Celtics, all of which have had pretty bad starts and come around to make solid performances in the playoffs. You have last year's Celtics started 12-8, which is only two game difference from what we're looking at now that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Or sorry, this is 2 years ago, the 16-17, 12-8 Celtics. Eastern Conference Finals, lost to Cleveland in five games. That was probably the best Cleveland team that we saw. And I think it's the one that won the finals, if I'm not mistaken. That won the ring.
Yes, it was. Because the Warriors won the year before.
Yes. So 15-16 Celtics went 11-9 to start the season, turned it around, and lost to the Atlanta Hawks first round. Got swept by them. That was the season before Al Horford arrived. So that was the Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, and Al Horford Hawks. That was a rough series. Yep. But still, turned it around after an 11-9 start. The 14-15 sees 7-13 start.
Yeah. That was the team that stormed back.
Yep.
After a bad start to the season.
That's, yes. And that, granted, that was the season that we started with Rondo and Jeff Green. Yep. And all those guys. All those guys were still on the team that season. And that was the season we traded for everybody and kind of pieced together all the Jay Crowder and all those guys. That was a fun team. But
very
that fun. That playoff
scrappy.
That series against Cleveland was J.R. Smith like broke Jay Crowder's knee, and like that was the Kelly Olynyk pulling Kevin Love's shoulder out.
Yeah.
That was a chippy series. Got swept by Cleveland first round. It happens. That was the first season that LeBron was with the Cavs. No, I don't think I'd be expected that team to get through. I think that was a 7-2 matchup, and we barely snuck past the Nets at the 8 seed. So I don't think anybody expected that team to be nearly as good as they did, or to get nearly as far as they did. And the start was just abysmal, and turned it around for a really solid second half. One of the best second halves we've seen in a while for the Celtics. Before that, the 12-13 seas, which was Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett's last season, they started 11-9 and went around to get to the playoffs. That was the Knicks' last postseason series victory. Lost to them in six games, but still made the playoffs. 11-12 seeds.
And I do want to make a point here, because remember, it was last week or maybe the week before, Kyrie was saying that he wished that the Celtics had a 13th veteran to, you know, sort of calm things down. And that, you know, 2012-2013
got
Boston
it that time.
Celtics team, yeah, finally, with Paul Pierce and KG. These are veterans, obviously, especially KG. They were all at the tail end of their productive careers. Obviously, they both went on to play.
Yeah, don't tell that to Billy King.
Productive careers. Yeah, yeah, definitely not. But they were veterans.
Mm-hmm.
A bad start, you know. It's sometimes. It's these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
These bad starts just happen, regardless of whether your locker room is full of 2 or 3 year players or 12-13 year vets.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen.
The 2011-2012 Celtics started with the same record, 10-10, and they went to the Eastern Conference Finals after the same starting record, where they lost to Miami in that devastating, I think it was game 6, where LeBron just went absolutely off and destroyed the Celtics. That was to Miami.
I remember that game like it was yesterday.
That was rough. So, yep. I mean, granted, that was Miami. That was LeBron. LeBron genuinely is the team that knocks us out of the playoffs. So, 10-10 start that year, and turn it around to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Really, only a game away from the finals, and kind of robbed of that. So, there's recent memory. You can go back to 2004, 2005, 9-11 start. The year before, 8-12 start. All of these were playoff teams that worked their way into the playoffs. So, for me, it's not that alarming to have this kind of start, because that happens. It's an 82-game season, and there's so much time to spin it around. I mean, you can make a move and do what the Celtics did the year that we picked up Isaiah and everybody else and just have an incredible second half. We weren't even supposed to be in the playoff picture and somehow turned it around into not even the 8th seed, but the 7th seed that we pushed our way there. I turned my Jeff Green jersey, my Jeff Green 8 jersey, into an icon for getting the 8th seed. So, you know, it's like you just make those pushes, and that's what this team did.
Yeah.
And so I have no reason to be concerned for this team. And I said today, I'm so sick of the concern talk, because we talked about it on every single pod. It's time for positivity. And I think these numbers show. You can look at other teams. There have been tons of other teams that have turned around bad starts. This 2004-2005 Chicago Bulls started 0-9 and finished 47-35. That was their first playoff appearance since Jordan left.
So you can use so many cliches and old sayings in this case. You know, slow and steady wins the race. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going through all of these numbers, all of these previous Boston teams and other NBA teams that have gotten off to, it shows that you can get off to a 10-10 start, a 10-15 start, maybe not an 0-20 start, and, you know, you might be kind of screwed at that point. But you can get off to a mediocre start and still end the season in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be just fine.
Yep.
Again, if we're in January or February and we're still 500, then I think we have legitimate reasons to be concerned.
No.
But I don't think that anyone should be too up in arms that, you know, we're off to this funny start.
We're not even going to think about it. We're not going to think about it. It's the positivity pod.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, under Brad Stevens, these starts are more commonplace than I think most people realize.
I guess. Yeah, so, whatever. Positivity pod.
We're good.
And let's go to more positivity. We'll wrap that stuff up. We'll jump to more positivity. Mike Gorman, play-by-play for NBC Sports Boston, is returning for 3 more years to sign an extension. That's positive. Psyched about that. I always
very
love
positive.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really psyched about that. I hope they can lock up Tommy Heinsohn for a little longer, but I know that he's kind of nearing retirement. So that's fine.
I can't imagine he has too much left in him, you know, commentary wise. Well, actually no, I'm sure he's good for lots of
commentary. He absolutely has the commentary. that's
yeah,
definitely
yes, he does.
Whether it's the energy to just stay, like, get to games and, you know, the late games and stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He stopped traveling. Yeah.
Yep.
So no, I mean, it's we'll unfortunately see the end of that sometime soon, that tandem. But Scal does a good job, so we've got the future of Celtics broadcast in good hands. Excited about that. Other news that broke before recording, Kendrick Perkins wants back in and says he wants to sign a 10-day contract once they're eligible to in January, and has reached out to the Celtics. What do you think about that?
I'm a big fan. If we can get it done, we have literally nothing to lose.
Yep.
I think he would be a great locker room presence. He's criteria that Kyrie was asking for, mm-hmm, about 2 weeks ago. Even if they, you know, continue their winning ways, or, you know, the Pelicans game was just a sign of things to come, I still think that it would be beneficial to have him in the locker room.
Yep. We should have the Jabari Bird stuff resolved by then, so we should have an open roster spot. You can look forward to a post from Justin kind of breaking down the money aspect of it and all the possibilities as far as that goes to find a way to navigate under the tax. We all know that's Justin's speciality, so you can look forward to
yes,
that.
It is.
And so that'll be there. But no, I like it a lot. And Mark was telling us before recording that perk was apparently just as integral to the chemistry in the locker room during the finals run as Doc Rivers was. So if that's what, you know, this team needs is some kind of rock to be there, who better than Perkins, who's, you know, tried and tested, is that the phrase? Tried and tested?
Yeah, tried and tested. True? Yeah, true, it's definitely not tested.
Something along those lines.
Something about true and trying.
Yeah, he's that.
And some tests.
He's that, and we're excited. I'm really into it. I'd love to hear other fans' perspective. I'd love to hear who isn't into it, because I can't see the reason not to do it. It'd be like the Greg Monroe situation last year, where like maybe he wasn't the biggest addition to the team, but we didn't really lose anything by signing him. So other moves, Kyle Korver was sent from the Cavs to the Jazz, left the Eastern Conference, which I don't really care that he's off the Cavs as much as that he did not get traded to the 76ers, who really would have benefited from his services as a sharpshooter off the bench. What are your thoughts?
Quiet professional. I always really playing against him. I'm also glad that he didn't end up in Philly. Mm-hmm. Let's see him on conference, because I was, you know, at pick and roll and just pulling up. You just felt like it was always going to go in the basket. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy.
Yeah,
I think he'll thrive in Utah.
Yep. Speaking of Philly, Markelle Fultz definitely not part of their future after a year and like 20 games, maybe 22 games. He is now going to see a shoulder specialist separate from the team, and the Sixers front office is fielding calls trying to figure out where they can send him to. I guess Phoenix and I don't remember who the other team were are kind of the front runners, but they're looking for a first round pick for Markelle Fultz. Continuing with Philly, the
That's
pick
resolved.
That we got in the Fultz deal, Sacramento pick, has fallen a little bit closer to earth after a really hot start. The Kings have slowed down, dropped to 10-10, which right now would fall about right at the end of the lottery. 15th pick. Ours would be at 20th, and Memphis at 21. Clippers, amazingly, have the third best record in the NBA, 27th. So the Sacramento pick is starting to look a little better after De'Aaron Fox just took off and led the Kings to a really good start. But looks like it's maybe a little bit better situation. And now we'll jump to future or upcoming week. We'll go next two games, back-to-back Friday, Saturday, third straight week with back-to-backs. Cleveland on Friday, Minnesota Saturday, home and away, back-to-back. Predictions. What do you got?
So last week, unrecorded, we had technical difficulties, and I think I called to go 0-4.
You did not.
Week, I will.
You did. You called like 3-1. You called the same as me.
I will say 2-0.
Cool.
Think.
I like it. 2-0. I agree. Cleveland should hopefully be easy. Minnesota, I think, will just start rolling, and then we'll just kind of catch fire. Whatever happens, you can read about it on CelticsLife.com, where you should check out the links at the top of our page, where we have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies. And you can even get tickets to the next game. You can get the tickets to Cleveland game on Friday. Check it out. It'll be a good time. You can also find our podcast on Wooshka, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and most of your podcatcher apps if you use them. We'd always appreciate if you subscribe. That way you don't miss any of our wonderful episodes. And if you like what you hear, we'd really love if you rate us 5 stars. It helps us be seen by other basketball podcast listeners. And if you have something that you like to say, you have a suggestion, you don't like something, let us know with comments or feedback on our Celtics Life articles or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod, where we just want to bring you guys all the Celtics coverage that you want, just the way that you like it. Luis, welcome back to the podcast world.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one, guys.
Later, y'all.
Ba-da-da-da-bum. Ba-da-dum-ba-da-da-da.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.